Hello, how you doing? We are a full rebrand here, so this is the Steve Hello. Raines Fantasy Football Show.
Good.
From now, we've ditched kickers, Matt. Richard's internet is playing up like I suspected. I did say this. He's gone outside, and yeah, he's all blurry. But we're gonna get on with it. Rich, how are you tonight?
On the hotspot.
Well, this is a great start to the rebrand here. That Rich's internet is dodgy as hell. I've just messaged him. I'm really sorry about this, everyone. I've just messaged Rich. He's internet. I don't know what he's doing. I think you need to go back inside, mate. Anyway, while Rich is sorting this, well, not at all. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's not. Right. Okay. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. No, I'm good. Okay. It's been a while. We've been on a bit of a hiatus over here. It's been nice. The Euros, I got a bit involved in the Euros, to be fair. So, as you can see. But
I can see that. Yeah. I assume you lost a bet.
I didn't lose a bet. I did lose a bet, technically. I said that if England made the final, which they never do, let's be honest, I would dye my hair. Well, I'd go full Paul Gascoigne. And then I had some guy come on me at Twitter about that, actually. But we'll leave that for another day. I think he thought I was going to go full string vest in the Count of Stella, but we'll leave that to another day. But yeah, I did mean I would just bleach blonde my hair. And yeah, it's going to take about 6 to 8 weeks to grow out. It's not looking great now. It's a little bit gingery in places, I've got to admit. It's not looking too healthy.
Well, I said to Tim earlier that I pray for him being ginger in this heat. And if yours is going a bit gingery, I pray for you in this heat too.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. We are going to dive into some news shortly, but tonight we want to bring you the everything Steve Raines Bowl, basically. So recap of year one, the format, what it's all about, how it started, the points scoring, which is a little bit different to last year. Rich set up a lovely scoring system for us last year, but we've edited it again. We've gone a different way again with it, which I think we'll continue to do every year. We'll just keep it like the Scott Fish Bowl in that regard. So I think it keeps it honest and keeps everyone on their toes, Rich.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, a bit of news. We'll break down a little bit of news. The news is Cam Akers and
Achilles.
He's done for the year, and potentially that's a career-ending injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive for him. I mean, my heart goes out for the bloke, really. Like, you know, he was going to be in a position where he was going to be able to really break out and do something. And it's just not happened, is it? Like, Achilles injury as well, like the recovery of it is so bad as well. So I just feel really bad for him. Like, to injure himself, especially like in training, not even like in a preseason game or anything like that. Just, you know, I've not read the details. I know he was training with a personal trainer or something, wasn't he?
Generally speaking, them sort of training injuries like that are the worst.
Yeah.
I remember what happened to Teddy Bridgewater when he was at the Vikings. I mean, it's a miracle that he's played football again, but even he's never been the same since that injury.
Yeah. I mean, you just feel for him, don't you? Because he's a young kid who was just kind of realizing his dream of being able to play, and it's not happening now, is it? So it's upsetting for him.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. So I went straight on Twitter when it happened, and there was a few things on there. Obviously, the fantasy community just looks straight ahead to what's next. And Darrell Henderson, I don't know if that's the way the Rams will go. I still think they're going to bring someone in. I think I personally think they're bringing Adrian Peterson, someone like that. I can't see them bringing Todd Gurley back. Like, even I put it on out on Twitter the other day. I said about Adrian Peterson. I said, even at the stage that he is at his career, he's a better running back than Todd Gurley is at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's going to be Frank Gore, just because the guy he's not in the league currently, and that just seems like a blaspheme almost. So, but no, seriously, I honestly think that we could see Le'Veon Bell go there. It's a similar kind of way.
I don't know about Le'Veon. He's a bit of a mercenary, isn't he? He's the type of, I don't know, it'd take a lot to, I don't think it'd take a lot to get him to play. He's a mercenary. He's after the money, isn't he, Lev Bell? He's not really after anything else.
Possibly. I mean, what I think would actually be interesting is if they did bring back Todd Gurley, who seems to be a bit of a favourite of people, because I'm not an expert on the draft cap in terms of what happens with dead money, but would he be the first player to be paid to not play and play for the same team?
Interesting about that. I mean, he could be. Yeah, I never really thought of it like that, but I don't. I like I just said, for me, Adrian Peterson, even at the stage that he is in his career, is a better running back at this stage than Todd Gurley. I've seen enough of Todd Gurley.
I think being completely frank, I think I can see the team going with Henderson for the majority of it. And I think what we might see is if a player gets cut from training camp, you know, final cuts and stuff, they'll pick someone up, or they'll try and trade for like a Royce Freeman from the Broncos. You know, not going to take much to pick him up. Like, maybe
they might even bring someone like Malcolm Brown back. You know, there's the running back room in Miami's crowded, to say the least. And Malcolm Brown knows the system, and he's not a bad running back, is he?
So. No, I mean, one name I've not really heard too much is Chris Thompson, who obviously played with McVay in Washington. So that might be an interesting guy too. So, it's running back, so there's just so many options.
Yeah, definitely. Just quick one before we move on. Just in regards to fantasy, what are you doing with Cam Akers? If you're in a, I don't know. I've seen a couple of trades go down this week. I saw one where the team was in a win now, so they traded Cam Akers away with a second round pick, picked up Kareem Hunt and got a fourth round pick back as well. Something like that. The deal was. What are you doing in both cases, really?
So if I'm win now, then I'd look to move him on for kind of any kind of serviceable piece. So, you know, if I can pick up anyone who's going to get volume, so like Kareem Hunt, I think that feels a little bit rich to pay for Kareem Hunt in the second round and Cam Akers, because I suppose there is the risk that Cam Akers just never plays another down in the NFL. That is the risk, isn't it? So, I mean, if I'm not win now, I'm just going to hold. Because for me, I'd rather take the risk that he will return for what I'll be able to get back otherwise. So,
and if you're not win now and you've got Darrell Henderson, are you shipping him for everything you can get?
Yeah, I'd ship him now, because if you're not win now, like, he is the definition of like a win now running back, in that he's going to be good for like this season probably, and then the team's going to either, you know, make a decision on the rehabilitation of Cam Akers, or they're going to be looking free agency or the draft to bring in some other pieces. So if I can convince someone to part with something quite high for Henderson, then I would definitely do it.
Definitely. That is kind of sort of, I know we've been away, I'm not going back over 3 months worth of NFL news, but that's sort of the latest news around.
Well,
the
there's
NFL.
Also there's also the news of the COVID delays and things, isn't there? Which, based on what I've read about it, it probably means that Cole Beasley is probably going to get cut. or really? Basically, well, if you have a COVID outbreak in your training squad,
yep,
from players that are not vaccinated, then you give up the loss.
Oh.
The team gives up the loss now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not extending the season, so so you're not going to want to take the risk, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of COVID, I can't see them playing games in London again this year.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the CDC, they put us on level 4, I think, which is the same as same as Iran. So, you know,
we're doing well.
Yeah, so you can even go to war-torn Iran or the UK. Yeah. That's how much of a high risk they see us. So, I can't see it happening. I mean, you've got to think they're not going to come over unless they're guaranteed that the stadiums are going to be full, right? Because they're just—it's not worth it otherwise. No. So I can't see it. And the way, the longer and longer it takes for the ticket news to come out, the more it's like it's just not going to happen.
No, I you know, I can get on board with it. I'm in my third isolation as we speak. It's boring as hell. So it's not me who's got it either. So.
just do what the government do. Just drive up to Durham. It's fine.
I could do. Yeah, I could do. Yeah, I mean, this weather has, believe you me, I've been out in my back garden. This weather has tempted me 3 or 4 times over the last couple of days to go and play golf. But I know I will get in a lot of trouble, and I wouldn't do that because that is incredibly irresponsible to go and do that. Moving on, we will dive into the Steve Raines Bowl 2021. I just wanted to sort of start it off with the origins of the Steve Raines Bowl, how it became a thing. I'm sure a lot of people know anyway, but we sadly lost a former podcast host with us and friend Steve, who loved fantasy football. I mean, if you think I like fantasy football, Steve was a different level. Trust me and Jamie took on a number of his teams. So he was a different level. So basically, it's in his memory. We do it to keep his memory alive, to raise money for cancer research, which is a charity close to all of our hearts here. That's the origins of it. The format is, well, we'll get onto the scoring shortly, but it's very tight end friendly. Again, going back to Steve, he loved tight ends. So he had a unhealthy obsession with tight ends. I don't really, me and Jamie used to laugh at him quite a lot, but very unhealthy obsession with tight ends, but somehow it worked out. So the format is, it's an 80-man best ball tournament. We do 8 divisions of 10. We've changed it up this year because of the week 17 game, which I don't think anyone really wants secretly, but we're getting it. So we changed it up this year. At week 10, the top 2 from each division will progress into a league of 16 with 2 different conferences. Then at week 15, the top 2 from each conference will play each other. So the first in, let's just say, the AFC will play the second in the NFC. Works like that. So the top 2 from each conference will play each other in the semifinals. And then the final will be in week 16 this year. It remains best ball throughout. There's no waiver ads or anything like that. There's obviously, when we go into a group of 16 at week 10, there's obviously duplicate players. Like, you're going to have 2, I don't know, there could be like 4 Derrick Henrys within that space. I don't know. Like, it's crazy how it works. But I want to talk to you about it more, really, Rich, because you bet Sleeper didn't offer us best ball last year, which was a big pain in the butt, really. But you managed to create something last year with your spreadsheets. I mean, I'm so glad we got you, because I'm useless at that type of thing. You managed to create it, and it was a huge success in year 1.
Yeah, I mean, it was when you asked, it was a pleasure to do it, really. I mean, best ball is something that I've always kind of enjoyed. The options are just very limited in the UK, so that was the origin of why I set up my spreadsheet to do it. I actually shared that with Sleeper when they were over the summer when they were talking about doing best ball. And I mean, yeah, I find it quite. It's quite a nice tournament, and the varying strategies are just they're crazy as well. I mean, I think we did a show when we looked through the ADP, and it was just it was wild. Like there were a few players that had like really tight narrow ranges, like Pat Mahomes, I think Travis Kelce, and like Christian McCaffrey. But yeah, you had some players going in like the third round in some drafts, and in some drafts like the 12th round. So anything that keeps it interesting is always fun.
It was amazing, really. I looking back at it now, I think there was one wide receiver went in the first round across all 8 drafts, which was nuts. And I believe that was Michael Thomas. But, you know, the amount of tight ends that were going, it was, I mean, they got to, I think I was picking 106 last year, and it got to a point, I was like, if Evan Ingram comes to me, I'm going to take him at the 106.
Like, yeah, definitely.
It was, it got to that stage last year. It was wild. I said it last year, we did a little podcast. I've never, ever seen a draft like it ever, anywhere.
Well, that was the premise. That's what you came to me with. Because you said that you wanted chaos. So I came up with a scoring format and a roster setup that I thought that is gonna bring chaos. and there was no wrong way to draft. There was no wrong way to draft. So
I think Travis Kelce was the consensus 101 across most of them leagues. Got a funny feeling he'll probably be that again. With the added bonus, it's 1.5 for the reception for tight ends, extra for the tight ends. So I have a funny feeling Travis Kelce is probably going to be the 101 across the leagues this year. Where are you picking this year?
I don't know, actually. I've not looked.
I am picking 101, and I can tell my Bombay mixed division, I am taking Travis Kelce at the 101.
So let me have a number 6.
Should mention to everyone as well. Yeah, you're picking 6.
Yeah.
So you're kind of you're where I was last year. So you're gonna probably have one of them. You're probably gonna be down to the third tight end there if that's where you want to go.
No, I'm just gonna press buttons and just hope for the best. That's how I draft.
This is how wild the draft was last year. I can remember Alan, who's a friend of ours, he's a friend of the pod, and he does writing for you, Rich. He had to take Dallas Goedert in. It was like the 4th or the 5th round, and he was absolutely devastated with himself for doing it, but he knew he had to do it to stand a chance. That is what we created last year. You know, that's what we want again, really, from it is. It's something in Steve's memory, and we just want to. We want everyone to have fun with it. Like Rich says, there is no right or wrong way. I was going to get onto strategy talking in a minute, but I don't think you can do a strategy for this sort of draft.
No, I mean, I tried a couple of different ways last season because obviously, you know, coming up with the scoring, you would have thought that. I had a few people ask me like, "Oh, you've come up with it. Like, what's the analysis and things like that?" And I was just like, there is literally nothing you can do. Just press buttons and hope for the best. That's literally it. But there's no, I could have made an argument for any one of like 12 players to go at the 101. And that just doesn't happen in any league. No. So.
I can remember it was even like Jamie. I'm pretty sure Jamie did his draft. And I don't think it was these two QBs, but it was a similar sort of caliber. And I believe he took like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I don't think it was them two, but it was a similar sort of caliber of QBs. And he was really chuffed with himself. And I think he finished bottom of his division. Like, I'm sorry, Jamie. Like, it was like that sort of draft. Like, he was really chuffed with himself coming out of it. But it was wild. Absolutely wild.
Yeah, I feel like more than any other draft I've ever done, I left the draft not knowing if I loved my team or hated it. I had no idea.
And
I think I made it through the first lot of playoffs, but then my team just fell away. I had too many injuries by that point.
And that's the good thing about baseball. There is no waiver pickups here. So it is literally going to be, you're going to be hopping over the line by the end.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like, you know, you're going to be on one leg going across the line. And that, Rich, you've done the best out of all of us then, because I know for a fact that I finished third in my division, so I narrowly missed out, but I know none of us got out of our divisions apart from you then. So you've done the best, mate.
Yeah. I mean, it was really close. So I had a bit of a lead to start with. And then, like, as we're getting closer to the playoffs, everyone else kept like catching. And I think I ended up getting out by literally like a handful of points. I think if there was one more regular season week, I was out. It was, yeah, my team was limping towards the end.
But that's what's going to be interesting this year, isn't it? With the extra week as well, like the teams will be limping across the line.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't really know what's going to happen with that extra week either. Are we going to see teams giving starters more time on the sidelines? Are we going to see teams trying to run the ball more to try and reduce injury? Like, we don't actually know what's going to happen with this extra game either. So it's another kind of wrinkle into the mix.
Yeah.
I mean,
I kind of had
it shouldn't
a strategy.
Really affect.
Sorry, you shouldn't affect. So I
was
kind of
say
had a strategy.
Yeah.
Go on. And
now you go.
All right, I'll go. So I kind of had a strategy last year, which was I kind of looked at the bye weeks, because last year we done it up to week 8 when it split off into the playoffs. I looked at the bye weeks and I looked at scheduling and who had the easiest on paper schedule. So I targeted them players. I just wanted to get out into the playoffs, basically. And it nearly paid off. It nearly paid off. I finished third in my division, like I said before. But yeah, I just do not know how you would approach it. I had someone come to me earlier, and I think they're picking at the 103, and they were like, it's their first year this year. And they were going to me, so what do you think I should do? Is Travis Kelce a good pick? And I was like, I'm telling you now, I'll be very surprised if Travis Kelce is still there at the 103. Like, very surprised. And I told him my strategy. I said, I'm picking 101 and I'm taking Travis Kelce. So it's just, I've got an idea for next year as well, which I'm probably going to share with you at the end. I think it will notch it up another level next year. I was thinking about trying to implement it this year, but I think it'd just be too wild if we did. But,
it's going to be three pickers, isn't it? It's going to be three kickers, isn't it?
So there's no kickers. We're getting rid of kickers. I wanted to implement a form of IDP into it as well, which I thought would be, yes, I thought it would be absolutely nuts if we did it. Obviously, I would have to sit down with you to get some scoring advice on it, because I want it to be wild as well with the scoring for that. That's one of my sort of pet peeves with IDP. I don't like the fact that the top corners are not the guys, they're not the guys you want to take. For example, you want to take the other guy on the other side to get the points. I want to try and balance something out, and I'm sure we can do it. We'll have a look at what we can do, but I'm sure there's a way for us to balance some IDP scoring out, which would be fun. Maybe we just include linebackers. I don't know. Maybe we just do something like that. But we'll look at that. We certainly won't do it this year. We'll look at that for next year, definitely.
Yeah, sounds good.
So this year, we're just going to have to take a quick look at the scoring. The QB scoring didn't change a lot, but I did put some wild scoring in for a QB sack. So it's 4 points for a touchdown, 2 points for a 2 points for a 2 point conversion, minus one for a pass intercepted. Pick six thrown is minus three.
So and minus four.
A QB sack is a minus four. This and then there's a 40-yard touchdown bonus as well, of 1 point for the QB. So I thought it'd be a little bit more interesting to do that with the QBs this year. It is super flex as well. So I think it could see a shift in the pattern of drafting, Rich, with it. I think I can see guys trying to target the QBs a little bit earlier this year, trying to get the ones behind the good O-lines.
I mean, I don't want Daniel Jones at all in this format.
Who does?
No, but in best ball, like, he's not a bad player to have, is he? Because he can have those games where he rips off one large run. But if you're losing four for every sack, that's not the one, is it? I guess you're looking at Baker Mayfield might be worth a decent shout here.
Yeah, this is kind of what I wanted. I wanted to keep it honest. And what I think you're going to see in the drafts, I mean, I've not done a mock. I don't know. I don't know how people are going to draft. But what I think you're going to see is people targeting the guy. You could very well, like you just mentioned Baker Mayfield, like you could very well see someone like that go very early in the draft. And you don't, like Richard says, you don't really want to be that guy that's left with Daniel Jones as your QB. So I think it'll keep people honest. I think it'll change the drafts this year.
Yeah, I think so as well. I agree.
So we're going to the rushing. It's for a rushing touchdown, 6 points. I added half a point for a rushing first down this year. So we'll see what happens there. Keep the runners a bit honest. 2 points for a 2-point conversion. And then there's an extra point for a 40-yard touchdown bonus for running backs.
That kind of makes it a bit random, doesn't it? Like the scoring, because there's no way you can really determine who's going to have more chance of doing that. So for me, that's the kind of thing that I'm not going to do any analysis on, the 40-yard bonus, and just hope for the best.
Kind of like, again, another Cleveland Brown. I kind of like Nick Chubb in that category there, because he's the type of player that can go off and rip them. For me, he's the best in the NFL at ripping them big runs off.
Yeah, I mean, so is Derrick Henry. I mean, you know, you try tackling a truck. Good luck.
So, I mean, that hasn't changed a lot from last year, but there's a few little changes there for the running backs. But just, I do think it's going to be very interesting with the drafting, even with them this year. Like I say, maybe people go Derrick Henry first overall because of that extra bonus point.
Yeah, you could well see that.
Yeah, over CMC, for example. So we'll move on to the wide receivers. It's 6 points for a touchdown, 2 for the 2-point conversion. You got the 1 yard, you got the touchdown bonus again for the wide receivers, the 40-yard bonus, which is at 1 point as well. So
Tyreek.
This is it. I wanted to really mix it up this year, and I want to get people honest with it. And you know, you're going to get your Tyreek Hills, and I'm just trying to think of other guys. It's a shame Ted Ginn's still not playing, because Ted Ginn would be absolutely amazing for 1 week in this format.
AJ Brown normally rips off one or two long runs. Yeah. MVS.
Julio did. In Green Bay. Julio did. And then there's the 1.5 bonus for tight end receptions. So tight ends again are going to be key. You're going to, I think Travis Kelce will be the consensus 101 yet again. I don't mind that, but at the end of the day, we want to keep this in Steve's memory, and Steve loved tight ends. So that is our foremost. That's what we want to do foremostly with the drafts. And tight ends.
Like, imagine a world where you would rank Logan Thomas ahead of the likes of Amari Cooper, probably.
Where are you going to get this ever in any other draft? And that's what we wanted. I don't know if you. I don't know what you think of the scoring. Has it changed your opinion on what you're going to do in the draft, Rich?
No, or, I'm just gonna press buttons and hope for the best.
You're just gonna press buttons and hope for the best.
my strategy is to have no strategy and just enjoy it. Just enjoy the experience.
I might just take Baker Mayfield at the 101.
I mean, you can do that, yeah. I mean, the guy at 102, I'm sure, will be very happy if you do that.
I'll lock down my QB. As I say, it's, that's the thing as well. I know we sort of laughed about the wide receivers a little bit there because probably they're not the most important within this format, but you've got to start three of them. Well, you could start five technically because there's two flex spots as well, but you have to start three each week as well. So I'm keeping you honest there. You can only start two running backs. You can start two tight ends, but you can also start tight ends in the flex. So maybe I'll just go four tight ends in the first four rounds.
That's a fair strategy.
And then end up with Daniel Jones as my QB and lose all my points.
Does Taysom Hill count as a quarterback or a tight end for this league?
Well, this is it. He could be a sneaky little play, someone like that. I don't know. I've had people come to me. People have literally messaged me and said, "Are you sure on that scoring?" I was like, "Yeah, this is exactly what we're doing. You won't see this type of thing ever again."
I think what I might do, actually, thinking about tight end quarterback, is I might auction my first draft. If we raise enough money, then I'll select Tim Tebow in the first round.
That is a great shout. I'm going to put that on the handle after we finish tonight. If we can raise money, I don't know, what should we put the money at? Should we say we can raise, I don't know, what do you reckon, Rich? £50?
Yep, if we raise £50, send screenshots of it or whatever, and I'll select Tim Tebow with my first pick.
If we raise £50 for cancer research, Rich will pick Tim Tebow. If we raise another £50 for cancer research, I will take Baker Mayfield at the 101.
There you go.
How's that?
So if you donated, then take a screenshot, send it to the handle so that we can tally it up. then I'll look forward to that. The one play that Tim Tebow will stand in at quarterback.
Does he make that roster?
Well, who else is going to play tight end there?
Well, that's a good question. I don't even know who they've got at tight end. Is Tyler Eifert still there?
Nope.
What's the young, the boy that everyone loved and he got injured?
Josh Oliver.
Yeah.
No, he's with the Ravens.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, because the Ravens can't get enough tight ends, can they?
So no, they love it. Yeah. So, there's not a lot of tight ends in on that roster. So we could well see Tim Tebow starting. And I'm here for the Philly special where Tim Tebow takes a snap at quarterback, throws it to Trevor Lawrence, who scores. If that happens, I will just log off the internet for 24 hours because it will just be full of Tebow mania. So,
and you know, some absolute, I don't know, I don't want to say the word, but some absolute annoying person, let's say that, will play Tim Tebow on DraftKings that week as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that'll be me.
Just on the Tebow thing, actually, have you seen all of these random wide receivers that are like, yeah, we're just going to convert, well, Kelvin Benjamin's one, he's on the Giants, but you know, all these random wide receivers are like, oh yeah, just going to convert myself into a tight end. Jordan Matthews, I think, was trying to do it, wasn't he?
Yeah. Actually, on the Kelvin Benjamin thing, I actually converted him to tight end on Madden one year for the Packers, and he ended up being the leading tight end in the entire league. So maybe it's actually not a bad shout.
So you can see into the future. That's what you're telling me.
I mean, I'm not saying it. You are. But all I'm saying is I changed his position to tight end and he was elite.
Well, as long as he can catch the ball, that's all I care about, really. Because Evan Ingram didn't do much of that last year.
No, he did not do much of that last year. I've actually got him ranked ridiculously low when I did my projections.
Yeah, I've gone off Evan Ingram a little bit this year. I was on a podcast last night, kind of a big deal, talking about the Giants, actually, and my thoughts on the Kadarius Toney pick. I won't go into it too much last night, but I did sort of say about Evan Ingram, I think it's put up a shut up time for a couple of these Giants players this year.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd agree. He's on that list. Mm-hmm. So is the QB. that's for another podcast. Rich, I think we'll leave it there because that's pretty much it. Thank you for everyone that's got involved in the Steve Raines Bowl. Thank you for signing up. Again, turned people away. And thank you for filling up the draft so quickly. I mean, that can be a right pain. Rich, you run the UK Fantasy League. It's a right pain sometimes when you get people just, oh, yeah, I'm interested, and then don't turn up.
Yeah, and then they just ghost you. That's worse.
Yeah.
It's the worst in the world. So,
Rich, where can we find your lovely work? And while you're at it, promote the UK Fantasy League. I know it's kicking off in, about 12 days?
Yeah, I'll believe you. I never know. It's like towards the end of the month, I think. So,
I'll tell you what, next podcast, we will do UK Fantasy League and we'll get Ben on if he wants to come on.
Sounds good. I'll reach out to him. So you can find my work at kingfantasysports.com, at Twitter at kfancy_sports. And if you are still thinking, oh, I want to play in another league, then as Jack mentioned, I run the UKFL, which is a charity league that we're raising money for a charity that's just up the road actually from me now. They're a really small charity, and they help children in poverty. And me and my wife are going to be going down there next week or the week after next to have a look through at their warehouse and see the great work that they're doing. So I know they don't understand the NFL at all. When I said to them, we're going to be raising money, they were like, yeah, we don't understand how it works, but that's fine. So yeah. It's a great cause. If you want to get involved, then you can find all the details up on the website.
That is a great cause, and well done on that. I'm in the Pokemon division this year, so
looking okay. forward to that. I'm in Pogs. Pogs.
You're in Pogs. For me. So. yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, there's some familiar faces yet again in there. I need to do better. I need to up my game this year. The last 2 years in the UK Fantasy League have been poor for me, so I need to up my game this year, definitely. Mainly because I just go into the draft, like, I'm going to just screw everyone and take 10 quarterbacks. it's a great idea when you're doing it, but it never really works out for you in the end, so don't do it.
No, yeah, I'd agree.
And you can find me on Twitter at JackHumphreyKM, and as I said, we are in rebrand mode. We're gonna get a new logo soon. We are now known as the Steve Raines Show. Gone as kickers matter, but what a 2 years it was, and hopefully all four of us will be back next week. We'll see, but we will definitely talk the UK Fantasy League when we are back, and hopefully we can get Ben on as well. Cheers for joining us, everyone.